Theo, welcome to episode 235 of Bunta Vista. I've got just the one hole. You might think, that's going to make some problems for me. That's going to mix everything up down there. How do you tell which, you know, what to shoot out of the hole at any particular time? And I say, buddy, it's none of my business. It kind of reduces my anxiety by a large degree, I'd say. Because really, like, I'm just gonna let the hole decide what's best at any particular point in time, right? Like, it knows better than me. I'm not an expert. Just let it do its job. And that's part of, you know, good management as well. I think you gotta let your hole just do its job. Just trust in it. I'm also here with Ben, who has two holes. As a cis male, I believe that is the, I won't say norm, but the median number of holes to have, Ben.
Can I just, I really want to get the semantics of what you're putting forth.
Yeah.
As clear as possible. Just to rid ourselves of any ambiguity.
Yeah. Without getting too crass, because I don't want to make this sort of a disgusting segment.
I've heard that people listen to this podcast in the car with their children, so... one person actually who wrote it to tell us that. So you as you're saying, traditionally the number of holes in a cis man is two. You're referring to not the mouth or the nose holes or the ear holes. You're referring to the butthole and the urethra.
If that's what they are, then yes.
Okay, just for the purposes of the hole, we're talking about holes sort of on the lower half of the body.
Yeah, south of the Tropic of Capricorn.
Yes.
If you will.
The baffling name you have chosen for the pubic region, that's right. Yes, I've got two holes, and I know what you're thinking.
I'm sorry, just to be clear, one at the front and one at the back. It's not just centered, like, sort of right in the middle there, pointing straight downwards.
No, although that would make a lot of sense.
It would, and I'm telling you, it's got a lot of benefits, but people are just sort of like... No, that's weird. Sir, you need to get off the bus, etc.
I drive a bus. I'm not in charge of where your holes were placed. I cannot help you. That's also not even under the purview of the Brisbane City Council at all. Things of that nature. So I've gone... I guess for you, you might find this system kind of complicated, but I just with enough sort of practice and a little bit of intuition, I just sort of know which hole for what when the time comes. It's not that hard to keep track of.
It's sort of like a horses for courses sort of thing.
That's right. Holes for stuff.
Holes for goals.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. And the goals are removing the waste from my body.
Yep.
And a few other little fun surprises as well.
Oh, but again, there's bonuses, yeah. I mean, you don't need two holes for that. I'm just letting you know.
But it helps.
It does help. I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably gets you closer to the target.
Yeah.
if you will.
That's right. And that target is intimacy.
Hmm. And finally, also with us, bringing three holes to our disgusting table, it's Andrew. Old bonus hole Andrew. How are you, buddy?
What's up?
You got an extra one there, hey?
Yeah, one for you to borrow if you like. You know, you were saying you let the hole decide. Yeah. I have extra choices available to me.
Yeah, you got an additional degree of freedom, as you would say in a sort of mathematics realm. The hole being the extra degree.
Yeah.
Sound like the rapper Lil Dicky.
He's got an extra hole?
He does. He's a three-hole man.
He's a three-holer.
He has talked extensively about having the condition hypospadias, which is, according to the CDC.gov, a birth defect in boys in which the opening of the urethra is not located at the tip of the penis. It can form anywhere from just below the end of the penis to the scrotum.
Oh, like a little thumb hole to change register. on your woodwind down there.
If you've got something that's coming up your urethra that you don't want going into the bag, you can... Yeah.
And so he had several surgeries, I believe, as a baby or child. And now he's got a hole where it's supposed to be, but also a hole where it's not supposed to be.
He kept the extra hole.
I don't know if like that was the aim. He got an extra hole.
Got an extra hole from surgery.
He got another one put in. But I guess they didn't resolve the initial hole issue, you know? Mm. So yeah, he's got choices available to him, you know?
Hypospadia?
Hypospadias.
That's not when you don't have enough spades, am I right?
Say hypo or hyper?
Hypo, I think. Yeah. Thanks, Theo.
Don't have enough spades.
Yeah, I was lining myself up for a second equally well-received hyperspadias joke, but I decided to ditch it after the reception to the first one. Thanks for your help.
Come on, welcome.
So this is from theguardian.com. So this is Lil Dicky talking about the TV show Dave, in which is like a, you know, semi-autobiographical telling of his life. It's like the
You've described it on the show before in the context of talking about the use of a sex doll, a real doll, and him warming it up in the bathtub.
Also very upsetting. But he talks about the hypospadias and his extra dick hole and all that kind of stuff in the show. And so in this article in The Guardian, they say, so does Bird, his last name is Bird, aka Lil Dicky, really have two, quote, pee holes, end quote, and a, quote, dick made of balls, end quote. As he says in the opening episodes of his sitcom, Dave. Everything about my penis in the show is true, Bird affirms, saying he was born with a tangled urethra and the condition hypospadias, where the opening to the urethra is on the underside of the end of his penis rather than the tip.
He's gotten the sort of mainstream hole, if you will, inserted at a later date.
Yeah.
The common hole.
Yeah, I think that's what's happened. And then like whatever hasn't worked out, they haven't closed up. They haven't put a bit of filler or putty or whatever into the other hole.
Yeah.
You know?
Or just put a Terminator on there, sort of teed it off.
Yep. They haven't got a little plug. Boop.
We very rarely get negative feedback via the Patreon, just because it's mostly people that already like us that have decided
people
to pay
who
for the podcast and listen
they
to
understand
it.
What's happening.
Yeah, and I don't know why this just popped into my head, but about a year ago, someone replied to one of our episodes on the Patreon feed, so a paying customer saying, hey, can you knock it off with fucking front-loading gross shit?
I remember who that is, too.
I guess...
Sorry to that person in specific.
Yeah.
I guess the answer is no.
Can a fish stop swimming? Can a bird stop flying? Yes. Yeah. Yes, they can.
So yeah, that's me. All three holes, Andrew.
Yep.
You know? And this has been a version of a segment that we have that we're going to go even further into now. We're going to go even further into the hole. In the hole report.
Hole report. Hole report. It starts making sense as you hop the fence. Voices calling. You're falling.
I think I've remarked on this before, but immediately after the first... Hole report is said the first time, sung the first time in that song, there is a sound that is very much, I'm pretty sure, the sound of someone getting a Slack alert.
Or audio?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And every time it provokes in me a fear response from when I worked in an office, because getting tagged in something on Slack generally meant you had to do something or something was going on.
Yeah. Or you fucked up.
Sounds like a you problem.
Hey, why is prod down?
Hey,
can't talk.
Gotta
couldn't,
go.
Couldn't help but notice the builds are failing, buddy.
A lot of red. A lot of red on that dashboard there. Interesting. This is, of course, the Hole Report, where we discuss hole-related news stories. This one is from the Associated Press. Embarrassed burglar leaves $200, flees home with his AR-15. Yeah, okay. So there's a lot going on there.
But, so far...
No hole?
Not seeing a hole.
Yeah. Well, the hole's coming later.
Okay.
The owners of a New Mexico home were doubly surprised over the weekend to find a burglar in their house with an AR-15 and then to have him apologize, give them money, and leave embarrassed. The man had slept, bathed, dined, and had some beer at the home on the outskirts of Santa Fe before the owners returned and discovered him, according to a Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office police report cited by the Albuquerque Journal. He had an AR-15 scoped rifle, but didn't threaten them or take any of their jewelry or other belongings. Instead, he gave the homeowners $200 as, quote, reimbursement for the window he broke, the report said.
Huh.
Yep. Still no hole.
So...
Yes.
Well, unless you count the hole in the window.
Oh, well, that's true. That is a hole, I guess.
Or we got a two-holer here.
This is going to be a two-holer. This is what we call a Ben in the industry.
Yeah. So that's the holus minoris is the one that he left in the window when he broke.
Yeah, holus majora is coming up.
Okay, he broke. I'm very sorry if you are one of my uncles or aunts and you've heard that Theo does podcasting now.
Yeah.
And you've decided to kind of
our little Theo's on the radio.
Jump
not quite
on at this. At this stage.
It's a kind of radio.
It's kind of like the radio.
Yeah.
I think that if any time that somebody's apologizing to you and they're holding what you would have to assume is a loaded assault rifle, that's what the AR stands for.
Yeah.
As far as I understand. That's a funny dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah. What's that quote? The... what's his name? Big time American crime guy saying you can get more with a gun than you can with a kind word and a gun.
It was definitely somebody.
Oh, I butchered that.
I believe it was Frank Sinatra.
You can get more with a...
And Ben will just edit in the right answer to this here at the end.
Put in the audio of me saying it correctly as if I had done it right the first time and no one would know.
I believe it was... Yep. Al Capone,
yes,
who said the best way to get along was with a kind word and a gun, especially a gun. It was Al Capone who once said, quote, you can get more with a kind word and a gun than with just a kind word.
Yeah,
so, you're pretty close.
This guy's taken it to heart.
He has. He's really internalized that. He's been like, oh, I should apologize, but I should probably be holding a gun while I do it.
Yeah, and when somebody, like, you know, when somebody is apologizing to you, offering you $200 for your broken window, and has had a bath, and had a little sleep. He's Goldilocks this house.
He has, yes.
Yeah.
He has 100% got in there. He's probably gone around and felt all the mattresses to see which one was just right. You know, big bowl of porridge. And then they've come in. Oh, he's ever so embarrassed. I feel really bad. Here's $200. Also, I'm holding a loaded, powerful gun.
Yes.
As the homeowner, I think you would feel a lot of pressure to just be like, that's fine.
Hey, don't worry about it, man. Yeah. Do you want another beer?
I don't mind the fact that you broke in and slept in my child's bed. That's cool. It's cool to me that you did a, like, 1992 Robert Downey Jr. That's fine.
The suspect, about 6 feet, brackets 1.8 meters, thank you, AP, and in his late 20s, also shared a bit of his story, telling the owners he was running from someone and that his family had been killed in East Texas, according to the report.
Oh my God.
He said his car had broken down outside Santa Fe. So this is a movie that this man is in.
He's in the middle of No Country for Old Men.
He's Mark Wahlberg in Shooter.
Huh.
Mm.
He's on the run, he's gone inside a house, he says, whoa, no, I'm not a bad guy.
I feel like he's more like Charlie Kaufman in Shooter.
I just need some salts and a sewing needle, ma'am. You know?
I
haven't seen Shooter, so I don't know.
How have you not? With this thing? Yeah, okay. Doesn't matter. The homeowners told authorities the man was, quote, extremely embarrassed and apologetic about the situation, the report states. The suspect left the home with his duffel bag and gun walking down a ditch.
Ooh.
And there's hole number two. He walked into a ditch. His alleged larcenies totaled $15, the report said.
Oh.
Sheriff's deputies came to the home and searched the ditch, but didn't find anyone. I'm not a homeowner like you guys. I'm just a humble renter. How much does it cost to replace a window, you reckon?
Must be $400.
$200 sounds cheap to me. Though I guess in America, you probably, you know, nothing costs anything over there.
Yeah.
No, that's true. I would say over there, you're looking at $3 to $18.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
US dollars, I should stress. If they were Australian dollars, that would be $200 to $300.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope this is adequate reimbursement, but I'm also just picturing him, no country for old manning it, and then he's got a briefcase with $1 million in it, and he's just pulling out a chunk of notes, and he's like, will this cover it?
Yeah, I feel like we're glossing over the duffel bag very quickly.
Oh, The duffel bag was full of cash.
One has to be.
Yeah.
Did he pull the cash from the duffel bag?
Although, I mean...
Or did he sort of already have it in hand, like, shaking nervously?
Did he pull the duffel bag out of their air vents using a coin to unscrew the screws on the air vents? Because that would have been a great hint.
I'm looking at an American website here.
Getting a quote on a window replacement?
Yeah, I'm looking at a couple of the issues here. Oh, so, okay, well, we've got prices in some different states. How much does it cost to repair a window near you? Window repair costs vary from one state to another due to different laws and regulations. What?
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be glass here in Texas. It's fine.
Children are allowed to do it in Alaska.
Yep. Here's the average cost for window repair in 9 different states to give you a sense of the price differences. Ohio, $374.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
California, $264.
Oh, all right.
Texas, $243. Massachusetts, $393. Florida, $512. Michigan, $689. And Missouri riding high with $919 on average.
What the fuck is happening over there?
That can't be right. That cannot be right. Unless they, unless what they're talking about is replacing, like, not just the glass, but the entire frame? Is that possible? Either way, I'm not entirely... Oh, sorry. Common window repair costs. We've got,
And this is definitely... Fixing... Household windows that we're talking about here. No windshields, yes, on cars.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Fixing a cracked pane costs $70 on average with a range of 40 to 100. Replacing broken window glass. Most people spend between 200 and 500. Cost $350 on average.
I hope these people manage to find a good deal on this. That's my earnest wish for them. Because I don't want this to turn into a bad story. I don't want them to be out of pocket.
Yeah.
Because right now, this is just a fucking great story. A hot, charismatic young fugitive on the run from some sort of East Texas crime syndicate. Possibly the Sinaloa cartel.
Unfortunately, by the time this podcast reaches you, you will have already heard the news that he is on the run for eating a child. So, I will just look foolish at that stage.
Not again.
I would like to apologize in advance for whatever it turns out that this man had done. Oh, America truly is a rich and varied country. And what better way to explore that rich and varied country than by talking about their custom number plates? It is time for Plate Watch. So we've covered this before. In the episode 3 to 4 hours of uninterrupted psycho time, which was, of course, our 3.5 hour long record breaking live episode, we talked about, I believe, I want to say it was Vermont, but it was definitely one of the states around there that they had no rules on what you could put on a custom number plate. Doesn't matter if it was obscene, doesn't matter if it was racist. You could put anything you wanted on there. And that was a law they were looking at changing, which is why we were talking about it. That was an absolute delight. Other states are not like that. But luckily, for whatever reason, every year, the state of Florida likes to publish a list of all of the submissions that they've rejected. And I thought I would share some of Florida's rejected 2021 custom vanity plates. Do I even say vanity plate to just mean the ones that are custom? Am I doing a tautology there?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. I don't really care. That's a custom number plate we call them over here. Here we go. In no particular order. Ape shit.
Excellent. And how are you gonna give us like the spelling of these as we go?
Yes, I will. So that's ape shit with a one instead of an I.
Okay.
That's the kind of
thought they'd
thinking.
Sneak it in there.
Yeah, they thought the person wouldn't notice. Bastard. No numbers in that one. Just nothing but letter.
Real twisted Joker style mind that wants that on their car, isn't
such
it?
Rocking up to a child's
barely
birthday
a swear
party.
Word.
Meth, but the E is a 3.
Now we're talking.
All right.
Not hung.
I thought that I could get that one mailed to me.
Some people are so brave. I love it.
Now this one, I'm just going to spell it out, and I'll let you guess what this could maybe mean. So what I have here is MYTRDS. Now, two ways you could go with this.
My trads. As but in the several trad wives that I have.
My tradcath wives.
Yeah.
It could be that this is a nerd who wanted to get this and this is my TARDIS. Or this is someone who wants the number plate, my turds.
Yeah.
Which to me seems like the reason it might have been rejected. Up next, we have V-Nasty.
V-Nasty. Beautiful.
Then we have the FBI.
He wasn't allowed that one.
They won't let you have a number plate that says the FBI. Now, this one is sort of a triptych, if you will. It's in three parts. I have OMW2FYM. Now, I believe this is on my way to fuck your man. Could be on my way to fuck your mum, hard to say. Next, I have OMWTFYD. I think might be on my way to fuck your dad.
Yes.
And then, lastly, this one, which might be the sweetest thing I've ever read in my life. It is OMW2FMW. Which I hope is on my way to fuck my wife.
Just getting stuck in traffic, beeping his horn, swerving on the motorway.
There he is. It's Mr. On My Way to Fuck His Wife. Yes.
I was just looking to see if it was Vermont that had the crazy license state laws. A licensed state, jeez. My goodness. The United Plates of America. How about that?
Yeah, that's something.
That'd be that's what we could call the segment if we do it again.
Yeah.
And I found some news from 2020, which very regrettably no one has followed up on at any point. So I'm assuming that it did not work out. But there was a proposed bill in Vermont in 2020 which would allow state license plates to be a tad more colorful. The short form of the bill states that it would create a new special registration plate on which drivers could add up to 6 emojis to the assigned plate number.
Or
to the vanity plate registration. That's a bad idea.
How
I'm
do you
say.
Call that out? Like, if you're a cop, God forbid.
Tango and Charlie, smiley face, eggplant, water splash.
And then he's got the one that's supposed to be hot, but it's the one that you send when you're extremely horny.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thirsty man. Really, there's no good way of.
Well, we've got like a version of. You can have like love hearts on our one now.
Yeah, you can get like the emoji plates that have like one emoji on them.
Yeah.
Oh, it was from the pointy northeast corner of America, but it was Maine. It was the state of Maine. I found an article here of a woman standing next to her enormous ute with the number plate, Crazy Bitch.
Yeah.
Yes.
We all remember that Stephen King novel where the pivotal point is that the main character, who also happens to be an author, by the way, has a big truck with a number plate buttfucker.
Yep.
Hell yeah. I love literature.
I've got a few more for you here.
Mm-hmm.
I have fart.
That's with how three many A's?
Yes. Three, yep.
That man is really farting.
I have fart man. I fart. Next I have one MILF.
That's who this guy's on his way home to fuck.
I love him. He's very reasonable. That's about
faithful.
It.
No, one
faithful.
MILF. One MILF for me.
Simply enough.
I'm a one MILF man. Next I have MILFs.
Oh, not this guy. This guy's not greedy. A one MILF man.
Yeah. I have boobs with a five for an S. I have ass man. The second S is a five and there isn't a second A.
But, okay, so stepping one step back there. At least submitting this in the hopes that it would be approved, because it's not like ass man with two S's has been taken.
No.
By the rules that we're kind of playing by here.
It's implied that ass man is not out in the world, and these people thought that by adding extra letters they could get away with it.
Yeah, they've gone too conservative.
The next application here, ass man but with two N's. then I've got MRA 55. Of course, Mr. Ass. I have P5YWGN. That is Pussy Wagon. Next up, I have FUPA. FUPA.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That one's probably sent them to Urban Dictionary to check.
Yeah, that's probably the first thing they go to these days.
Absolutely.
I got a speed round of five here for you. Forever 69, Cuban 69, I love 69 you, Ligma 69, and ICU 69. Now, I believe what they're going for here is ICU 69,
yeah.
Not someone 69ing in an intensive care unit. It's hard to say.
Well. Limited beds due to coronavirus. since we invented stackable patients.
My goodness.
Next up I have gay AF 1.
Such a stupid sentence.
Let them have their fun.
Well, I mean, it's Florida that's not letting them have fun. Why are you gay? Which seems like a rude question to ask someone.
I think it's more kind of philosophical, you know?
I have DNKYDIK. It's called Donkey Dick.
Okay.
That's right.
From the first season of Australian... fucking...
Big Brother?
Big Brother. All I could think was House of Cards, because they all act up in there.
House collapsed. House of Sexual Assault, but that's also a thing starring Kevin Spacey.
Oh, boy. I need some help figuring this next one out. So it's T-A-X-D-C-K. Tax dick.
He's... I would have preferred that one if it was...
Yeah.
Like the other way around, if it was the dick tax.
Dick tax.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this guy could be an intactivist, angry that the government takes 15%.
You reckon it's the government that does that?
Yeah. Hey, I think so. I haven't checked up.
Can I pull back the curtain for a second here?
Yeah.
I don't think we've got
a curtain to pull back.
Yeah. This is a story that I didn't include in the notes for this week because it's too dark. So I'm not going to... We can't read the whole thing out.
Yeah, this is a frown-free experience on Bunta Vista.
We try and avoid upsetting people where I can. And also because, you know, it's probably not that funny. But this is it was a story from the Times of India about an infant child whose glands fell off which is horrifying. Oh, but no. Because the baby had had a ritual circumcision done, and then after the circumcision, the Times of India repeatedly called this man a quack. They call him a quack. The quack tied a length of horse hair around the tip of the penis to stop the bleeding after the circumcision, and then the glands fell off.
Oh no!
And then that classic surgical equipment, horse hair.
Yeah, and then they couldn't reattach it, so they had to do a surgery to make sure the child could still piss through the urethra. But yeah, the glands just fell off. Mm. Yeah.
No, anyway, thank you.
I got one more on the list here. T. Bundy. They didn't let that one through.
Yeah. And that was on a tan VW Beetle.
See, it's funny because if they were in Maine, it would have been perfectly legal to imply that you were Ted Bundy by getting T. Bundy as a personalized number plate.
Ted Bundy just driving around.
Fortunately, they are in Florida. Anyway, it's time for Perfectly Legal. It's a segment that we don't have a theme for.
It's legal. Yeah.
This one's not come up for a long time. Check out the episodes Perfectly Legal and Perfectly Legal 2.
Do we have two episodes called that?
Can we, read the entire title for Perfectly Legal 2, please?
Sorry. It's been a while since I've seen that one. How quickly did you look that up?
Oh, I know this. I know this from by heart. Perfectly Legal 2. My son calls my big titty goth wife's boyfriend Steve dad.
And that was a wonderful episode. That was about the guy from
The Chase.
Yeah, check that out. How come that's been ghosted from my Google results?
Well, it was a bonus episode. It's I don't know if that appeared counts. On something
very intriguing. Mm. Anyway, Perfectly Legal is where we discuss things that are perfectly legal. This is a story from the Manchester Evening News. Air hostess who drove to A&E after downing bottle of rosé cleared of all wrongdoing.
Yes. Yes! Oh, remember that time? No, actually, I was about to say drunk driving supremacy, free all drunk drivers. But then I remembered that thing somebody got really mad and wrote in about one time was that I said that I had like posted something from my phone while I was driving. Oh, and they were like, that's not safe. I'm taking back my money.
Plus, we're not actually... Please don't write in. We're not serious about
it. We aren't. We are not pro-drink driving. It doesn't matter
just
that we've said
it... Just in case you... Yeah.
10 to 12 times on the podcast so far and then added exemptions for maybe if you're on a property and you've had a couple of beers that it's great. It's a lot of fun.
Hold on. Can I be really clear?
It's like eating soft cheese when you're pregnant.
Mm, yeah. It's not for everyone. It's not for everyone.
It's just simpler to say no. Yeah. But
let me be really clear on my position. I don't think other people should drink drive.
Yeah, that's right. Unless you're really good at it, like Andrew position. Is.
Unless you have a proven track record of never... No, actually, that's not true. Scratch that.
Oh, come on, Jesus.
What?
Nothing. An air hostess who drove herself to the hospital with a head injury while also nearly three times over the alcohol limit has been cleared of all wrongdoing. Claudia Kinsey, 36, claimed she believed there were no ambulances to take her to the hospital because of COVID.
I read it in the news.
She suffered a head injury after slipping and hitting her head against a fireplace while dancing with her boyfriend, but then decided to take herself to the hospital instead of dialing 999.
Dialing what?
Yeah, they're wacky over there in the UK. Crazy. Kinsey says she believed she would be waiting hours for emergency services to arrive at her country cottage due to strains stemming from COVID. A nurse at Macclesfield Hospital, which is 8 miles away from her cottage, treated Kinsey for a minor head wound and asked her to provide a breath sample. The test revealed that she had 95 micrograms of alcohol in 100 milliliters of breath. The legal limit is 35 micrograms.
And that's less, right?
Yes, that is about a third, I think. Hmm. Soon after, Kinsey was in Stockport Magistrates Court where she was looking at a driving ban for driving over the alcohol limit after admitting she had downed a full bottle of rosé wine before getting behind the wheel of her Jeep. Now, that's just a good time.
It's a Jeep thing. You wouldn't understand.
Ain't nothing but a Jeep thing. But Miss Kinsey, who lives in Snelson near Knutsford, was found not guilty after a doctor testified her actions were appropriate due to seeking immediate medical treatment during the pandemic alongside NHS guidance when it comes to calling 999. Calling, yeah, 999. The incident occurred at 1 a.m. on February 21st last year after Kinsey, a flight attendant for what was described as a, quote, private airline.
Epstein.
Yeah, that's actually quite odd, the way that they phrase that.
What?
Very strange.
She's one of the stewardesses who dances with Tony Stark on his plane.
She'd been enjoying a night in with her partner, Carl Backhouse. She told the hearing, quote, it was Carl's birthday and we got dressed up and had a tapas evening and a few drinks. We then moved into the study. We were dancing and I slipped as I had tights on.
Hey, you know how like, you know how people with last names like Archer and stuff?
Yeah.
They come from a... It's been handed down through the years.
Archers, yeah.
How do you think you're getting the name Backhouse?
He was actually a toilet in a former life.
Yeah.
He comes from a long line of toilets.
Oh, my great-great-great-grandfather ran all the toilets in this city.
I called him the Toilet King of Knutsford. Quote, I then panicked as there was blood on the floor and all over my face. Carl went to get a tea towel and I told him to get the first aid kit, which is in the boot of his car. As he opened the door, our dog ran out. We live in the country with open fields, so I was worried the dog would get lost, and she means everything to me. Carl could not have driven, as he had a lot more to drink than I did, and he was looking for the dog in any event. I am medically trained, so my first thought was to seek medical assistance straight away, as it was a head injury. There was so much blood, I thought I needed someone to look at it, and I just wanted to get to the hospital as fast as possible. I did not know the neighbours, and I did not call 999 as I thought it would have taken a long time for an ambulance to get there, and I did not want to trouble them. I thought the guidance was not to call 999 because of COVID, and ours is not an easy property to find in any event, and we had not used taxis before at that property.
There's a lot of...
Yeah, certainly running down the list here, isn't
it? Yeah,
it
just seems like the more you're saying, the more I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, and
there,
my
there was a solar storm at the time, so cell phone reception sort of just on the fritz.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I like to waffle on about, you know, community and nice things like that. I'd feel like,
yeah,
you know, I'm a bit of a soft heart about these things, but even if I didn't personally know my neighbors, if they knocked on the door and said, hey, I'm profusely bleeding from the head and I think I'm very seriously injured, could you help me get to hospital? I would say, absolutely, I would love to.
And I think... in the inverse, if I had accidentally trepanned myself, sort of tripping and falling on a brick edge, and you know, opened my skull to the outside of the world, I feel like I should be able to drag that bleeding skull, bone chips and all, sort of the 30 meters or so to my next door neighbor and say, hey. Some of my inside brain is on the outside.
Can you lend a fella a hand?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not thinking so good right now due to the hole in my head. Any ideas?
Yeah. I feel like that's probably better than...
yeah. And he'd go, you know, I'll fetch my mum.
I also feel like... I mean, the whole... Like, obviously, we're not in that situation. Sure, whatever. Yeah. If I was the partner, even if I was more drunk than them, I probably wouldn't be like, yeah, great, you get in the car and drive yourself to hospital.
Yeah. I feel like they're really focused on the amount that they're drinking here as well and not the fact that she has suffered a gigantic head wound.
Oh, can I... let me continue reading here because you're going to love this. Miss Kinsey said she had, quote, never seen that amount of blood before. She added, quote, I did have a bottle of wine to drink, and at the time had been on a very strict diet. there's a bit
Even
of this
better.
That I cut out of the article for time, but she says specifically she's on the keto diet and she hadn't had carbohydrates in a couple of days.
Oh, my goodness.
Beautiful.
It's a great combination. She continues here, but I felt 3 out of 10 drunk, and that the hit to my head had sobered me up.
That's how it works.
I'd experienced some head trauma.
Are we talking like a sort of Looney Tunes? You get hit once in the head, you're seeing little doves, sort of Tweety birds flying around, you get hit twice. Similarly, if you've got little Tweety birds from having too much to drink, so a whole bottle of rosé, another bonk to the head, sort that right out.
Yeah.
So the cause of the Tweety birds is fungible.
Yes. This is a reversible physical process. Mm. Yeah. Judge presiding Pauline McArdle told Miss Kinsey, the defendant was impelled to react how she did because she had cause to believe that death or serious injury could result. She was aware of the government advice in not calling out ambulances, and she did not know her neighbours. We find her actions were not unreasonable or disproportionate. In the agony of the moment, a sober individual would have acted in the same way.
It kind of sounds like what they're saying is...
Yeah, if you've got a good enough excuse...
Yeah, if you need to do some drunk driving, just take a bonk to the head, and then you can say, well, here's the thing. I was discombobulated, and I didn't know you couldn't do that.
I'm somewhat perturbed at the final sentence from the judge there. In the agony of the moment, a sober individual would have acted in the same way. So, in the same circumstance, a sober person would have also drunk driven to hospital. Which, a little bit of a Zen Cohen there for you, if you can unpack that one. Something to think about.
I won't be thinking about it.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah, sometimes... nope. Thought I had something.
No,
you're
going to give up on that one? Boy, the police and the judges, they'll let anybody off scot-free with anything these days. There sure is an omen of a dark, terrible future of crimes. Crime-ridden. It's a lot like the movie Cyborg, Theo. Mm.
No, come on, man. Come on.
Say it. Say the phrase. Mm-hmm. Say your catchphrase, Theo.
Say your catchphrase.
Haven't seen it.
Whoa! Thank you. There it is. There it is. That's right. The world's really going down the toilet, and we...
You really had to adopt a lot of beliefs to get through this segue. Western civilization is declining.
That's what I believe. China's got it in for us. That's a thing I also think is true. We would win a war with them. That's a thing that I think is true. Yeah.
And if you've only just tuned in,
yep.
How are you listening to your podcast? That's very confusing.
God damn. That's right. Bad vibes. Scary future. We're all hiding under the bed. Time for some omens and portents.
You shall see hail fall from a clear sky and burn as fire upon the ground. You shall see darkness cover Egypt when the sun climbs high to noon. And you shall know that God is God. And bow down to his will.
Agree to disagree.
I don't know why you guys take umbrage with that every time. So this is sort of...
I don't like when someone tells me what to do.
Yeah. When someone tells me that, all that sort of, hellfire, et cetera, the ground will erupt with pus and locusts. I just feel like I'm just going to say, no, it's not.
Yeah. Fair enough.
End. I'm not going to justify it.
This is... this story is thematically linked to something we spoke about on our most recent bonus and unlocked bonus episode, which is, of course, the live stream that we did. Some common elements with something we spoke about then that you might pick up on. This is from KCCI News in Iowa. Man who snuck into Iowa NICU to bottle feed stranger's baby does not reveal motive to police.
It's quite the sequel, isn't it?
Hmm.
Because, of course, in the previous episode, we learned of a lady approaching a stranger to say, hey, you using that baby?
That's a nice Aryan baby you have. Can I offer you 250 large?
I love how white your baby is. Can I buy him, maybe, please? And then when you say, no, I don't think so. The answer is, by the way, I know your baby's name.
Yeah, so quit being so uncool about this.
Yeah, accept my 500 grand for Brayden, or shit's about to get weird. The man charged with sneaking into an Iowa hospital NICU and feeding a stranger's baby won't tell the police why he did it. Des Moines police say someone recognized the suspect after sister station KCCI first showed his picture last week. Police say Adam Wedig snuck into the NICU at Mercy One Hospital and bottle-fed a baby who wasn't his. He had no connection to the family, and police say Wedig did not intend to hurt the baby. Wedig has been charged with 2 counts of criminal trespass.
Did you say criminal trespass?
I believe he said criminal trespass.
I don't think that's right.
That's three times as bad as criminal trespass.
Wind that back. Check the tape.
Not my job.
No. Sergeant Paul Parizek said he, quote, he acknowledged that that was him, and unfortunately, he didn't offer us any motive. So we don't know what brought him to do this, but we were able to establish that, and this is the relieving piece, is that he had no intent to harm anyone.
Hey, let's
People
do it.
People always expecting you to explain your art to others.
Yeah.
Theo, let's do a little role play for a second. Ask me if I broke in and fed somebody else's baby.
Hey, Andrew.
Yep.
Did you break in and just break in here and feed someone else's baby?
Yep.
all right. Well, wasn't expecting. Sorry, a little taken aback there. Wasn't expecting you to say yes. Just one more question, I guess.
I don't have all day, but sure.
Yeah. why did you do that?
That's just none of your business.
But I'd like to know.
Oh, do I have to tell you everything that I do and why I do it?
Well, I'm the police, so...
Oh! The police have a right to know whose baby gets fed what by whomst. Jesus Christ. This country. This is what it's coming to. China's out to get us.
Oh my God, no, please don't. I don't know what's happening here, but we can't endorse it. The fact that they're just like... So they've asked those two questions. Did you do this? Oh yeah, man. Can you tell us why? wish I could. Did you intend to hurt the baby? No. Well, that's good enough for us.
Yeah.
They just seem
what's
very...
What's the crime here?
Yeah, what's the crime? Giving a baby a succulent meal?
2 counts of criminal trespass, I believe. police also say Wedig had no nurse training or any medical connection. In a statement to KCCI last week, Mercy One called the incident, quote, extremely troubling, and says it's changed policies to make sure something like this doesn't happen again.
Now, hold on a second.
What was their previous policy?
There's a strong suggestion that if there were an appropriate policy in place that this wouldn't have happened.
So what they've done is now the system that they have in place under their new policy is if you go in there and you say, hey, I got a warmish bottle of milk here and I would love to bottle feed that baby, they'll ask you a few questions first. Previously, they just say, go on in there, Tiger.
Go ahead.
Have a great time.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Bottle feed a baby that's not yours?
Yeah, that'd
hasn't
be weird.
Happened yet. And
who
won't
would
happen.
Do that?
But now they've got a guard sitting there.
You know,
sort of a creaky chair. He can lean right back in that bad boy up against the wall, prop himself up.
Yep.
Catch some Z's.
Set of keys on a big comical ring.
Dangling from the back of his belt.
And he's got a faithful old dog that's next to him. But I tell you what, that dog wants a stick of salami so bad. I'm sure that there's a way you could code it to get those keys to you. I don't know. Like, you know, everyone always complains about generational decline and stuff and whatever and about things getting more dangerous. And I know all the statistics. It's about China. All the statistics say that like crime is actually going down and you know it's not, it's just that the media reflects a more terrifying world, not that the world is actually more terrifying. But I just remember that like when I was growing up, you could just leave the door to the NICU unlocked. Everyone did.
Oh, it didn't have a lock at that point.
Why would you even have one? You know, you knew your neighbors, you knew everyone in the NICU unit, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you knew the babies in there.
Yeah. I don't have to worry about saying, hey, who's this now? You wouldn't have one of those ring doorbells so you can say, hey, someone just came in here and bottle-fed my child.
Yeah, who's feeding your child right now? Ring.
Theo, as a man
You'll
with
never
a baby,
guess again.
Or at least you used to have a baby. And now you have a large baby, right?
Yeah. You got to say...
No, yeah, I'm entered the larger-than-a-lamp phase, yeah.
You've entered the this guy is strolling around on his own phase.
Yeah.
And what do you think when you see those old-timey pictures of the infant ward where they just take the baby into a room and just put him in a little basket and walk out, and there's just like 3 dozen of them in a room?
Do they... Okay, yeah. This might be that I have an idiot's understanding of the world. Do they not just do that anymore? There isn't just like a room with like a glass window and then behind it's like 100 babies?
No.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Not even remotely. I mean, I think everything that they have learned about babies and attachment and midwifery and such says that it's now extremely important for your baby to, like, you know, have skin-to-skin contact with you and try breastfeeding immediately. And, like, that now they take the baby out of you and they put it straight on your chest, and that's where it stays until however long, right, Theo?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think we have discussed this concept previously in the episode Completely Fungible Baby.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought you were going to ask me is, what would your reaction be if you saw somebody in the NICU feeding your baby? And I would say my reaction would be, oh my God, thank fuck, I am exhausted. Let that man feed my baby. I'm going back to bed. Just pat him down when he's walking out of the door. Make sure he hasn't got a baby tucked out. Make sure the baby's not on him. And look, buddy, you want to feed that baby, that's between you and the baby.
I wanted to show you guys a picture of who the man was, just to see if that changed your reaction to the story at all. So I Googled the headline so I could find the article again. And because of the way Google's infograph, or the Google graph, or whatever the fuck they call it, works, it answered my Google search as if it was a question. So I searched for man who snuck into Iowa at ICU to bottle feed stranger's baby, etc., etc. And then in giant font, it has just put Adam Wedig at the top. And that'll be in his search
putting
history.
Putting him on blast.
That'll be there forever. He's not a... Like, he looks like an all right, like a nice enough man. Doesn't have any Nazi face tattoos or anything like that. Haircut could use a little work. He's got kind eyes. I'll let you guys be a judge of this. I've just dropped that in the chat there.
Can I ask, would you let him feed you?
How hungry am I?
Well, that's up to you.
Are we talking, I'm in the NICU, you know, we've just had another baby, etc.?
No.
Because in that circumstance, I'd let anyone feed me, and then I'd go straight back to bed.
Okay, what I'm thinking is that Ben has had 5 pints of, say, 5% beer over the course of, say, 3 or 4 hours. He's had some edibles, and then he's back home at his house. He's tired, but boy, those edibles are kicking in.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't eaten anything for hours. He's been at work, all that sort of stuff. He's gone home. And you're lying down on the couch and you're thinking, boy, I'm hungry. Suddenly, there's a knock at the door, right?
Yeah.
The door's unlocked. You say, come in. This guy walks in. He's holding a piping hot pizza in a box. And he says, hey, I got me a vegetarian supreme with your name on it. One catch. I feed you each slice of the pizza.
Now, I feel like this is a little different from the baby prospect, unless...
Well, hold on a second.
Unless this man was 9 or 10 feet tall, and he could just pick you up and sort of like rock you in his arms.
So little compared to him.
I'd be so tiny, and my little bird beak would be like going...
He could just crush you if he wanted to, but he doesn't.
But he doesn't. He kind of feeds me some pizza in my helpless little mouth.
But what I'm saying is that
That's not what you were saying.
Yeah. No. What I'm saying is that in this scenario,
it's important to note he's snugged me, right? He's gotten the little
Oh, you've been swaddled?
The swaddle out.
You can't move your arms and legs, but you
done
don't
the
mind.
Diagonal fold.
Mm. No, what I was going
kind
to
of
say...
Wrapped over me and sort of pulled it really tightly. And I'm just like, I'm just like a little baby in there.
Like a helpless little worm.
Helpless little worm. No arms or no legs, because they're all in the swaddle now.
Yeah.
And just a little head kind of poking out there, wiggling around. And... You know, probably worthless at this stage. Mm. The only thing I could really do is just eat whatever it is that you got for me there in the box.
You just have to latch on.
Yeah,
no choice. Latch on to that pizza.
Sorry, Edgy, you were yes. I believe you were about to say what I've just said, but I'll check with you anyway.
I was simply going to say. Ben doesn't need a bottle of milk because he's not a baby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but what if he was?
But what if
he
was
snugged up in that? Baby?
I'm so helpless. I don't have to think about tax returns.
Yeah.
I don't have to
think a lot about tax returns.
Yeah, and there's someone just going,
not often.
In your ear, and you're all just wrapped up like a baby. You're on your side, which is really good for digestion.
You're burping me. Yeah. So, what we're saying is...
Hold on, you haven't answered the question. Are you eating the pizza?
I'm fucking eating that pizza 100%.
Yeah, okay. So what's the problem?
Yeah, this man is innocent. Adam Wedig.
Yeah.
Adam Wedig, innocent.
Adam Wedig, innocence project.
All we know is that he ate a child.
All we know is that the two heroes of this week's episode, both child eaters. This is probably dark, and if you were the parents, you'd probably be terrified. Hard not to think of him as a gentle giant.
Yeah.
Simply wanted to bottle feed to strangers. A baby that was in an intensive care unit, no less. Or do all babies go through that because they require intensive care?
No.
How about this?
Okay.
How about
a special thing?
How about this for
when do you get the milk from?
Did he bring it from home?
Look,
was it his milk?
I would like to throw a few ideas at you, if I may.
Yes, please.
Number one, it takes a village to raise a child.
True.
That's so true.
That's very true.
And what do you have in villages? Gigantic oafs that can pick you up and carry you around.
And
banjos, if you will, to the infant's kazooie.
Yeah, and they're going, ooh, hoo, hoo. They're sort of rocking you. And having a great time. You're having a great time.
Thought number two, of course, many hands make light work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or two big hands also
two
make
huge,
light.
Hairy two huge hands.
Everybody's always saying... Everybody's always saying, you know, hey, people should be more community-minded. What happened to our communities? Yeah. We used to live in a community, and now we're all just strangers living in apartments, streaming our netted flixes and our stanzas. Yeah.
And these days, if an 8-foot-tall guy wearing nothing but overalls but only one of the straps is done up, walks in, picks up your child, starts bottle-feeding it with a bottle that he produced from somewhere on his person, everyone would say, yuck. Get out.
Oh no. You know, everybody's like, oh, men don't contribute with child rearing. You know?
He's finally doing some emotional labor and you are charging him with two counts of criminal trespass.
You're coming
Shame
down
on, you.
On him. You're coming down on him, you know? It's just like, hey. Hey, what do you even want? Do you even know what you want? Before you point your finger at this guy, have you even asked yourself, what do I actually want from this gigantic oaf?
Yeah, this is what it looks like to build something instead of just tearing something down.
So true.
These Lucy Free episodes really take on a character of their own.
A different tone?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I can't see how the introduction of Lucy to this...
She wouldn't have improved it. I don't think she would have been like a guiding light or a moral force here. But I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe I think that she is the license we need to be awful. Well, if the best of them is approving it, how bad can it be?
I would just like to note here at this point, if you're thinking that we deliberately excluded Lucy from an episode in which we accused a woman of... being ungrateful for emotional labor and help with child rearing just because a gigantic man came in and fed her baby while she was unawares. We need to note that she would have been here, except that she is moving house and dropped a coffee machine on her foot and has injured herself. So that villager's oaf is currently engaged, is what I'm saying.
That's our Lucy.
Wonderful. Well, I think that's it for this first episode of this year's Freemium Free Brewery.
That's right. This episode was always going to be free.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, man. Two ambulances just rocked up outside of my apartment building. Generally, you only see one at a time. That's concerning.
Okay. Are they coming in to feed you, or...?
They might be. One of those guys does look tall-ish.
Okay.
Well, hopefully nothing tragic is happening over there.
Anyway, Freemium Free Brewery. So, all this month, if you are not a subscriber to the Patreon, you will be getting all of our bonus episodes free of charge. So, you can experience what it's like to get two episodes a week in your feed. And ideally, you will become hooked to it. Like a horrible drug that you can't quit.
A third ambulance just arrived.
That's a lot of ambulances.
Yeah.
Well,
and there's another siren in the distance. That is very ominous. Anyway, sorry, you were saying about Freedom from February.
That's exactly what I was talking about, Ben. So if you are not a subscriber to the Patreon, please enjoy your free episodes this month. And ideally, you'll be jonesing for a fix when we slam the door on you, when we slam the paywall down onto the tip of your penis, causing you to cry out in pain.
Or you will have found out that one episode a week was more than enough.
Yes. Either way, it's really going to help you. If you were on the fence about subscribing to the Patreon, this month will really help make your mind up for you.
Yeah.
Forever.
And for that,
yeah.
You are welcome. Well, see you next time, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.